Well, I've been meditating on some and feel like the Lord's given us a little something for us this morning. I was thinking about the value of a thing and how different that is sometimes to different eyes. Sometimes we can look at something and it seems to have no value at all. And to someone else, they would give a fortune for it. So I want to think about that thought this morning. There's a poem that Brother Leslie, I've heard him read before, or quote, I guess he quoted it probably, called The Old Violin, The Touch of the Master's Hand. And I want to read that to us this morning and think about this little thought. It's such a blessed thought. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1? $1? Do I hear two? $2? Who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" as he held it aloft with its bow. "1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardships, auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. You know, that's a very touching thing. For me to read it, it's very touching to me. I found it to be so true. There is such a difference when the master takes something in his hand and we see value that we never saw before. I think about... We'll come back to this thought some as we study together this morning. But I want to look over in Luke 2 and 25 and look at a little happening there where Jesus was just a little baby at the time. Luke 2 and 25 to 33. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." I want you to notice this old fella. There's something that had happened to him. It says the Holy Ghost was upon him. And we find here that God had been working with him. And he saw a value that no one else saw here, except the parents maybe. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know, this morning, this man Simeon had been touched by the master's hand, hadn't he? And he had been made aware of something that other people weren't aware of. And he saw in this child the Son of God. He saw in this child the consolation of Israel. This was the promised Messiah that was to come to be their deliverer, and that was come to be to them the one that had been promised since the world began. And here Simeon, his eyes were opened. The Lord had touched him, and he saw in this little baby something that others all around him didn't see. We'll read a scripture maybe in a little bit where we hear the crowd, even after Christ had grown to manhood, and the Lord God had come upon him and given him his work, and he had healed multitudes of people and preached the gospel and gave us what we have today that changes our life even today. And even then we hear them hollering, "Crucify him." And here, not only could they not see him then, how could they have known him then? Oh, just one way. Just touched by the Master's hand. That's all. Just their eyes enlightened. Just something happened inside of them. And so I think about all of these things. And here Simeon's life was, he said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Simeon was waiting for this. This was the hope of his life. The Lord had told him, "This is going to happen for you." And so he was waiting for that. And when he saw that accomplished, and he saw what God had sent, and the Lord had witnessed to him, he said, "Now I can die." In other words, now I can go on. Now I can die. My life is accomplished. You know, this morning, I just think about this little poem that we read about the touch of the Master's hand, and how some of them cried, "We just don't understand." But somebody did, and somebody paid $30,000 for this. Now, maybe this is just a story. Maybe it really happened. I don't know. But, you know, I look at this and I think how likely the world it is today, and how all around people can just go right on, never even recognize the value of something. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to give us eyes. He wants to give us eyes to see something more. Simeon had those eyes. Because, you see, he had sought after God. And the Lord gave him a vision, gave him understanding that hardly anyone else knew around him. Anna knew. She saw him. And she blessed the Lord too. And she realized as well, this is what God has sent. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. You know, this morning, I want to talk to us just a little bit about the Lord opening our eyes to see the value of things. I think about the scripture over in Matthew 13 and 45. And we find there where the Lord, trying, speaking, giving his eternal word that people, that you and I might understand. And he says here, verse 45, Matthew 13, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." How could such a price be paid? Somebody sell all that they have, and yet here is a man that knew what he was looking for and looking at. And when he saw it, his eyes were open to those things, and he was willing to sell all that he had. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. You know, this morning, we have to have our eyes opened to see what is before us and to see that thing that is worth that kind of a cost. Because that's what Jesus was saying. Kingdom of heaven is like this morning. And so we see right up above it in verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now, I want you to notice something in this scripture. It says that Jesus said it's like treasure hid in a field. It's not necessarily going to just be open to everybody that just walks by. Jesus wasn't recognized by everyone that walked by. But those whose eyes were opened saw and understood, didn't they? And so this morning, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. It's like something so valuable. That this man that found this treasure in the field, and he just went and he sold everything he had. And he bought that field because he realized there was great treasure in this field, worth a lot more than everything that I've got. And so, you know, this morning, we're kind of like that. I remember when my eyes were opened to those things. I remember when I began to be aware and I began to come around and I had always wanted to serve the Lord. And I know you've heard this many times, but I can't help but tell it many more times. I will tell you, when I began to perceive the value of things, I had my thoughts about life. I had my dreams. They weren't bad dreams. They were good dreams, I thought, and what I was going to do with my life and all of that. But I'll tell you, my eyes began to be opened. And I began to see the value. I remember coming to a little young people's meeting over here on the west side. And Sister Opal Kelly was there. And she was talking about the mission field and telling about those things. And little by little, my eyes began to be opened. And I would go over to my wife's house, to the Huskies, and began to become aware. I saw people with a burden for souls. I saw people that knew the Lord, and my eyes began to be opened. And I will tell you, yes, I sold all. I will tell you now, I sold all. I didn't hold anything back, and I didn't want to hold anything back because I saw the value of what was there. I wasn't under a crunch or under a crush that I had to do this thing. I wanted it with all my heart. I wanted to give my life to a higher cause than the things of this world. I wanted God to work in my life. I wanted that. I began to be consumed with it. And I've been consumed with it all my life. And I thank God for that this morning, because my eyes weren't open to that until He did. But you know these people, and you see this in Mark 15 and 12. You know, Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." I want to tell you, because the world does not believe means nothing. They didn't see the value of it. They saw him as one that caused their position to be endangered. It caused their livelihood to be endangered. Paul, when he preached to, was it the Ephesians, wasn't it? And those people, when they saw that the hope of their gains was gone and this woman that had been possessed was delivered, oh, they brought them before the councils then. Because you see, they had something else in mind, and they didn't want to see. They wanted the things that they wanted. And so this morning I want to talk to us a little bit about letting the Lord talk to us and open our eyes to something that maybe our eyes have never been opened to before. I want to look at John 12 and 23. John 12 and 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now here was people soon to be hollering, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the world would put him to death. But you know what Jesus saw in that? He said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He didn't say, the hour's come that I'm going to suffer. He did tell them he would suffer, but not like we would think. And so he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I want to tell us this morning, if we will put our life in the Lord's hands and really do that, it will bring forth much fruit. Those are Jesus' words. It will bring forth much fruit. I want to encourage us today that there is something like that old violin. And here was the fella. Here was the violin. And you know, $1. $1. Who will give two? $2, three. And it was almost gone. And it was going, gone. But wait, somebody showed up. The master showed up. And he tuned it up. And he began to play that thing. And there was great value. Great value in that life. Great value in that thing. And we find here, it says, and many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardships, auctioned to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone, but the master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Isn't that an amazing thing this morning? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, I want to say this morning. I'm not trying to put anybody under, you have to do such and such. Let's just give ourselves to God. It is He that orchestrates. It is He that plays the violin. It is He that calls. It is He that sends. And how shall they hear except somebody be sent? And so this morning, I want to put that call to us today. Lord, won't you take this violin and play a different tune on it than the world plays? And won't you make it have worth and value? I've been reading a book to the children at school about a man named George Washington Carver. I don't know, probably most of you have heard of him. He's one of the heroes in my mind of life. And we see right over there by Monarch Springs Campground, back this way a little ways, 15 miles or so, was where he was born and raised, I believe. And I believe he was born there. I know he was raised there. And we find, I've been reading this story to the children. Once a week I read a chapter in it to them. And they've loved it, and I have too. But this man was a scientist. He was planning to be an artist, but he was born a slave. And he endured a lot of things. He endured a lot of evil. He endured a lot of things that his mother was taken from him. Many things happened in his life that could have tanked him and done him in. But he kept on and he kept going. And he learned about the Lord. And the book says, and it says it through it more than once, all his life, when he became old, he never quit going to the woods at 4 o'clock every morning and spent his time with God. He walked through the woods every morning at 4 o'clock and he beheld the beauties of God and what God had made. And he talked to the Lord as he walked. And this man loved to paint. And so he aspired to be a painter. and he went to college and he was taking that class and he wanted that so much and he was so gifted at it. But someone got a hold of him and said, you know, they reasoned with him about what he was putting his life into and that he could do so much better if he went to horticulture school and studied horticulture. And so he began the study of plants and he listened to that and he was like, I love to paint. That's what I want to do with my life. I want to paint. But somebody reasoned with him and he listened. And he also loved plants. And so he began to study that. And he knew in his mind when he had to make this decision about what he was going to be, what he was going to pursue in life, he knew that if he became a horticulturist and studied those things, that he could probably help many people in their plight. Because this is post-Civil War time, and we find many hungry and many in trouble and many hardly able to make it. But this man gave his life to God, and he began to study and move toward that. And, of course, many of us know he ended up at Tuskegee Institute, a little fledgling school started, I believe it was Alabama, and he stayed there the rest of his life. But we find him becoming very proficient in learning how to help people, and it became the drive of his life. And he spent and he endangered his life to help other people understand how to do better, and how to grow things and make their crops grow and resistant to disease and so many things. How he found out the boll weevil was moving up from Mexico and through Texas and up into the United States, and he warned the people again and again, you're going to have to grow something different than cotton because the boll weevil is going to destroy your crops. And not too many listened until it was too late, and a lot of them did lose their crops, but he had been studying how to replace that. And the Lord used his life to help many people. And I know that's kind of in a secular way, but he helped people spiritually too. And his life was a deeply, as far as I can understand and read, a deeply spiritual man. Every day spending time with the Lord, consumed with the work that God had given him to do. And so we see how the Lord had blessed him and giving him purpose and something so much greater than he would have been had he been just what he wanted to be. I want us to think about that this morning. We have a life too, folks, and we want to be what we want to be and we want to do what we want to do. But I will say this, if we will allow the Master, he'll work with our strings. He'll tighten them up. He'll change our thoughts and he'll play the most beautiful tune out of our life. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that if we will let him. So this morning, I know the Lord can and will do that. It comes from that connection that we have with the Lord and that time that we spend with him. I wanted to just mention again my mother's experience of salvation and how she didn't think she could be saved, and she had all these ideas and things about all of that. But her brother got saved, who had been an alcoholic for maybe 50 years, and he would call her every day. Vera, if I can be saved, you can be saved. And you know, faith began to spring up in her heart. And before she died, I saw the Master touch a life. And I have never seen personally, up close, a life changed more than hers. She changed from someone who was very depressed, so many troubles, and the Lord lightened her life and gave her life. You know, this morning, and then some of us, we might feel like, well, I want more of that too. You know what? Let's just let the Master work with us. And he'll make our life into what he wants it to be. And he'll get us to heaven too. And you know what? He might not make a great scientist out of you and me, but he'll make someone whose life has beauty and value. And you know what? When my eyes woke up to see the value of the thing, I began to seek it with all my heart. I began to call out to God, Lord, please use my life. Please take my life. Please work in my life. And you know what, young folks and saints today, we can call out to the Lord like that, can't we? Lord, open my eyes and use my life for something besides what the world has, the cheapness of it. Many a man has been sold to a thoughtless crowd. Many a man has been sold to that cheap game of the world, hasn't it? But you know what? The Lord has something so different this morning. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, the things the world has to offer. In Matthew 16 and 13 to 17, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They all knew there was something there, but they just couldn't figure it out. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter wasn't the first one God had illuminated his eyes. We look back and we see the Lord talked to Mary and to Joseph and to Anna and to Simeon and to others as well, and through John the Baptist. But the Lord asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that the Lord is, folks? Who do you say he is? What is he in your life? What has he revealed in your life this morning? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so we see that the Lord wants to take our eyes and he wants to open them. And he wants to reveal to us the violin. And he wants to reveal to us what God has in our life. That's what the Lord wants to do. He loves us enough to do that. I want to read a scripture over here in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6 that tells us how he loves to do that for us. 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, it says here, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. You know, Paul just wrote as if it was a matter of fact, as if he just took it for granted. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Well, what happens to them? Why does it come to naught? Because it's of this world. And when they die, it's all gone. And that's it. That's the most it can be. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. It's like a treasure hid in a field. You know what? Not everybody sees it, folks. But you and I can. And if we open our eyes to it and open our heart to it, the Lord will come in and he'll sup with us. And he'll show us his wares. And he'll show us his things. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. How could they not have known it? Because they were blinded, weren't they? They were blinded by the things that they loved more than God. And so this morning, the Lord wants to give us something. But we have to love him more than the things. We have to love him more and open our hearts to it. But as it is written, and I hear this verse mentioned so many times, but they don't mention the next verse, and that just really bothers me. Listen to what it says. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Did you know that scripture, that ear has not seen, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, he says, but hey, there's a caveat here. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know what? While others all around don't see, Paul said God's revealed them unto us. He had been to the third heaven, whatever that means. He had seen things which he said it was unlawful for him to utter. Paul had been engaged with the Lord, and he had worked in his life, and God had worked through him, and he understood those things, didn't he? And he said, but he revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Do we know that God wants to reveal to us many things? Do you know that the Lord wants to reveal in your heart and life his will? Do you know he wants to reveal to us? I know that our duty is to just serve him and do his will and be humble and all those things. But folks, the Lord wants to work in our life and be to us our riches. He wants to be to us his glory. He wants to be to us that violin that he plays through our life this morning. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I know we'll never understand 0.1% of God and all that he is until we get to heaven. But there's many things he wants to reveal to you and I this morning. And so it says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So I just want to challenge us today to let the Lord play the strings of our life. Let's don't play them ourselves. Let's don't be sold too cheap. Folks, our violin's worth more than $1, $2, or $3. That's way too cheap. I'm glad Paul didn't sell cheap. I'm glad when the Lord touched him, he listened. He would have never known what God had for him. And I believe that for you and I too, you and me. I want to tell you something. God wants to use our lives and bless our lives. He wants us to be a light right where we're at. And no, he doesn't send everybody across the seas. But he wants to play his music in your life and in mine today. We talked about a mess of pottage, and I want to read that this morning. There's one that did that. Hebrews 12 and 16 and 17. Start at 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What a tragedy that he would sell his birthright for a morsel of meat. But when we look at that story in Genesis 25 and 29, we see what happened. He had a need. It says, and Jacob sawed pottage. So he had made a pot of something, hadn't he? He had it all ready. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. You know, wow. What a deal. Isn't that the way the world is today? Yeah. Give me your life. Give me your virtue. Give me your strength. And I'll give you some pottage. What a deal. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know what this morning? Don't sell your birthright, folks. Don't sell it cheap. You got a right. You got a birthright. You got something coming from God. And folks, I want to tell you, it's not a mess of pottage. It's Him sharing His eternal glory in your life. It's Him opening up to you the things that man cannot even in his heart, with his eyes or ears, even understand. But they are revealed unto you and I by His Spirit. Do you know this morning the Lord wants to do that? Oh, I think about that little poem. For a mess of pottage, for a glass of wine, a game. And he travels on. Get what they want. And they're gone. Do you know this morning there's something so much better than that? I found it to be so. I gave my life to the Lord a good while back, many, many years ago. And I will tell you, it is the one thing in life that was perfect. It's the one thing in life that I did right. And so this morning, I want to encourage us today. Sometimes it might see going, almost gone, and yet one steps up from the back, and it's the Master. And He's looking for you and me this morning. I want to tell you, He wants to bless you. Wants to bless me. You know, Jacob, he was the one that stole that birthright. He was the one that caused that trouble. And his mom jumped in there with him. And we see that there was a time that he himself came to himself. And now his life was in trouble over all this stuff. And he needed the Lord. I want to just give that little account of Jacob here in Genesis 32. On over a few chapters, folks, our chapters will turn fast. Over a few chapters, 32 and 24 to 26, or to 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, you know what Jacob was doing here? He was in a fight for his life because life had caught up with him. And now he was fixing to die. That's what it looked like. That's what was, I think, planned. But you know what Jacob knew? He knew where to go. His father had taught him that. His grandfather had laid the way before him. He knew something about it. And we find him wrestling there. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. It cost him something. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, and to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Do you know this morning, Jacob wanted to be blessed, and he wanted it more than anything else. And he wrestled for that. And the angel said, let me go, or whoever it was that he was wrestling with. But He was in a fight for his life. He knew that there was things that lay before him. And folks, that is what happens so often in sin. We find Jacob coming back to pay for his sins. And he came to that place and he needed God and he found God. And I want to encourage us today to find the Lord. Folks, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. What's it going to profit us if we did gain all the world? If the world did treat us wonderful, if we did hit it just right, and then we're going to die? And what are we profited? Everybody in this book that was back there died. They all. Only God endures. And so this morning, I want to ask you today, what profit is it if we do gain everything and we lose our soul? Let's look to the Lord. Oh Lord, play on this violin. Could I get my eyes open, Lord, to where that I would rush to give you my life? To where that I would fling myself upon you? Because that's what's worthwhile. I'm not telling you something and I'm not boasting. I've tried to do that in my life. Lord, please take my life. Folks, the Lord wants to play on our violin. And to one, they might be caring for an elderly person. And that's God's will for them. And to another, they might go before kings and princes, as Paul did. All those things are valuable. But God wants to play on the strings of your life and mine. Amen.